That is the marvelous singer Audra McDonald with pianist Ted Sperling in Randy Newman's song, I Think It's Going to Rain Today, from her CD, which is, what is this CD called? Audra McDonald, Build a Bridge. It's one of those rare CDs that doesn't actually tell you on the cover. And she is probably the person I personally was most excited to see on the newly announced season for 2013-2014 by the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois in Urbana. And our program today here on Live and Local is going to cover the season as best we can in the space of an hour with director of the Krannert Center, Mike Ross, and assistant director for artistic services, who is Tammy Kikta. I'm Kevin Kelly, and Live and Local is your connection to local performances, and Krannert Center is your connection to the world, really, when it comes to all things music, dance, theater, and some shows that sort of cross all those lines, as often happens. So, Mike and Tammy, thanks for coming in, and congratulations on assembling another intriguing season.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kevin. It's a great pleasure to be here.
What, actually, Mike, I was going to say I was trying to remember, except I simply don't know the answer. How long have you been at the Krannert Center as the director? Do you know offhand?
I do know, in fact, yeah. And it still feels like just a small handful of years, but it's actually been 15 years now. We arrived, that is to say, my wife, Taya, and our son, Miles, and I, in the fall of 97.
So you finished the 15th season.
Yes.
Congratulations on that, too.
Thanks very much.
Hope you're going to stick around for a long time.
Have every intention of doing so. Yes, thanks.
It's a great place to be. I mean, I don't remember specifically what the Krannert Center was like before Mike Ross, but I do know generally that the Krannert Center's offerings have expanded enormously since you got here, and the variety of things that happened there has expanded enormously since you've gotten here. I guess I sort of had the impression that before Mike Ross, which would be what? BMR. it was a heavily classical institution, and there's plenty of classical music offerings still, but there's so many more things. Just generally, what's your philosophy about programming for a major center like this?
Well, first, Kevin, thanks for the comments and the invitation to talk about that a little bit. But I have to say that the Krannert Center has had a great history since its very opening. And it's always been a fabulous home for classical music, for sure. And also with its support of the academic departments of dance and theater, as well as the School of Music, and in particular perhaps the opera program in the School of Music, there's always been music as well as dance and theater and other explorations at the center. But it was one of the things that when I was visiting and interviewing for the position, it was one of the things I felt strongly about, it seemed that Krannert Center had so much more potential to broaden its framework of invitations to artists from different cultural legacies and art forms and histories and traditions. The Krannert Center is a fabulous and major cultural institution by any standard. And we all know that you can't be everything to everyone, but I've often said that Krannert Center, that while that may be true, Krannert Center can be a great many things to a great many people. And with the the exciting work that's going on in the realm of the performing arts around the world, as well as domestically. It just seemed that there was an important opportunity to expand to increase the potential impact of the center, both with regards to the pure public engagement mission of the center, but also on the educational and research side as well. So, fortunately, in my view, the university and the staff and the donors, the funders, have been willing to invest in that notion. And it takes a while for things to change and expand, but it's been a glorious ride. And I'm, as I said before, very much looking forward to the next big batch of years too, which also will include our, by the way, the 50th anniversary of Krannert Center in 2019. So hopefully there'll be some fun stuff to talk about as that year approaches.
That's a few years away, but I would not be surprised if planning is already happening at some level for that.
Indeed.
Because if you want to make it big, you got to get certain people booked long in advance. Speaking of which, I guess we're probably not going to hear these guys because we play them so often on this station anyway, but the Chicago Symphony was just here, it seems, and they're going to be back at the beginning of the season, and they're not always here every year.
No, historically speaking, it's sort of been a biennial affair over time. And we are very excited to have the orchestra back with Maestro Muti this fall. And it is our hope, looking forward, that it can become more of an annual tradition. And
do we know their program yet?
For the fall? Yes, yeah. We do.
I'm curious.
Yeah, well, we'll share that with you right now. Featuring their violinist, their concertmaster, Robert Chen, they will perform the the Hindemith violin concerto. Mm. They'll also be performing the Mozart Divertimento in D major, K-136, and one of my favorite pieces in all of music history, Prokofiev's Suite from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, fabulous. That's a really intriguing program.
Good chance to hear the great Chicago brass.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
That's for sure.
Very much.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
The year's offerings have plenty of classical people. You have some classical people who often do what is generically called crossover music, and we have one of those next. They are going to be here in November. This particular recording happens to include him. I'm referring to Sir James Galway and Lady. She says Jeannie, I think, doesn't she? Or is it Jean Galway? I thought I heard it Jeannie at somewhere along the line.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yes, I've heard him say it both ways.
In any event, with the Irish Chamber Orchestra, they'll be at the Krannert Center on the 7th of November. And when was he? I know he's been here before.
It's been
a while.
Probably.
It's been
here comes Tammy, the historian. She's got the facts
ago.
In front of her.
2002.
Yeah,
I know I missed it.
Last time he was here,
which was too bad. There's always these partisans among flute players and probably non-flute players who like the flute. Who was better, Jean-Pierre Rampal or James Galway? And I've gotten into nasty arguments over this, but I'm a James Galway partisan.
It's all part of the great dialogue about the arts, isn't it?
So here is James Galway with one of these many orchestras that are involved in this particular compilation recording. It's a waltz by is it Benjamin Godard?
Mm-hmm.
Here on Live and Local. Sir James Galway, flutist, in music by Benjamin Godard, a waltz. He is going to be coming to the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, along with his wife, Lady Jean Galway, on Thursday, November 7th, of 2013, one of the highlights of the coming season, which has recently been announced by the Krannert Center. They will be joined by the Irish Chamber Orchestra, who will also play some things on their own, some major things on their own, on that particular concert. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring the new exhibit, the James Bond theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. My guests on the program today are Mike Ross, who's director of the Krannert Center, and Tammy Kikta, who's assistant director for artistic services. So Tammy is both involved in the programming and selecting the people, along with Mike, who come to the center, but also in dealing with all the artists, which has to be at times fun and at times probably really frustrating.
Well, I tell you, actually, I work much more with the logistics of things like, when can we get them here? What's their calendar like? You know, the kind of contractual details of the work and so forth. And it's always a great pleasure to work with the artists, particularly those who are involved in engagement activities with our local community and with the university community. But it is our events office that really gets into the nitty-gritty with the artists and is very much responsible for their care the entire time that they're here.
The care and feeding, probably, sometimes.
Yes,
and other things.
And other things. One of these days I'll ask them for the scoop, and probably they'll swear me to secrecy in some way or another. Between the two of you, what are your... This may not be a fair question, but give it a go anyway. What are your own highlights for yourselves on the season you helped to create?
Wow.
Because you must have them.
That's a really hard one,
yeah.
Actually, because I get pretty excited about almost everybody.
Sure.
I agree with you, though, that Audra McDonald is going to be a wonderful highlight. She's such a beautiful voice, such a talent in so many regards on the stage, whether it's musical theater or concert stages or club-style kind of settings. I think she's an incredibly beautiful artist, and I'm very, very excited about that. So that kicks off things. You go for one, and I could go on to a lot of others as well.
Kevin, you do know how.
It's like calling one of your children
the
their favorite.
I know how unfair the question is.
But you also know that I was trained as a composer, and so it's an impossible question for me to answer because I view the entire season as a composition. And it's how all of those parts of a piece of music or a piece of choreography or whatever come together. What I am absolutely joyous about is the being able to kick off the season with the next El Nora Guitar Festival. And as you know, we'll be sharing details about that in a few weeks coming. Didn't want to do it all at the same time, but in this case, the Guitar Festival, for those of your listeners who are familiar with it, I'm sure that they would understand when I say one of the things I love about kicking off our season with the Guitar Festival is the way it serves as sort of a microcosm in and of itself of our core values at Krannert Center, the celebration of diverse creative expressions and all these different legacies and traditions that are embraced by the festival. But it's the way that component plays with the classical programming, which plays with the modern dance programming, which plays with the new theater work that we're bringing in, the hybrid forms. I really can't single out any one artist because when I think about artists, I think about what a particular artist has to offer individuals and families, our community, our communities that we have the pleasure of being part of here in Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding region. So I'm afraid I just can't answer that one for you the way you'd like for me to.
Well, since you mentioned the Guitar Festival, which, as you said, we'll talk about at a later date when you actually announce everybody. I know that the one announcement has been made, that Cindy Cashdollar will be an artist in residence, so that's one thing.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
And I know you also brought along a recording of another artist who will be there, as much as anything to indicate, for those who don't know, that the Guitar Festival does in fact have classical guitarists. And this fellow is a really fine one. He's still pretty young, and I noticed that this particular recording, he's really young. It was made about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And he was on the show once, and I got to meet him and found him delightful and also a wonderful musician. His name, Jason Vio.
Jason Vio, absolutely. I have no trouble referring to Jason as a young master. He is a beautiful musician, and his spirit is also beautiful. And to have him alongside the great blues and jazz and other guitarists that will be in the Guitar Festival, I think is a real treat for us to bring Jason back in that context. I think he has a lot to offer people of many different kinds of musical interests, but his artistry is just exquisite.
I think also people have a chance to get to see another side of Jason with maybe a little bit more on the scholarly, intellectual side of things during the course of the festival as well. We'll leave that up to a surprise later on, but
okay.
we'll see Jason in several different ways in the festival.
Well, here's Jason Vio, as I said, when about 8 years ago or so, in music by an Argentinian composer and guitarist whose name I hadn't seen before, Jose Luis Merlin. This is a suite from which we'll play a second movement. This is a particular dance called, you've heard it, a samba, here on Live and Local. Guitarist Jason Vio in music by Jose Luis Merlin, a samba from a suite of his, a suite del recuerdo, which I'm trying to remember in my Spanish. Is that memory suite or remembrance or something like that? Jason Vio will be one of the classical guitarists who will be at the Guitar Festival known as El Nora at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, September 5 through 7. That's all we're going to say about the Guitar Festival, because I know nothing more about it, because they won't tell me yet, nor will they tell you.
It's a whole other show.
But they will
Kevin.
Later on, that's right. It will be another show. We are covering at least little spot bits of the 2013 and 14 season that has very recently been announced by the Krannert Center with director Mike Ross and assistant director Tammy Kikta for the center. And it's a pleasure to have him back on the show after, I guess, about a year, the last time we made this announcement. In addition, we'll talk about some of the many guests who are coming in from, as I said at the outset, literally around the world to the center. But let's mention also the fact that you do host resident artists through the School of Music, the School of Dance, the School of Theater, and both the student groups and faculty who use the center quite prolifically.
Yes, indeed. This is one of the most for me, the most stimulating things about being at Krannert Center, that mix of engagement with faculty, with students, and as well as the visiting artists. And by the way, as you know, Kevin, we also feature many local non-university-based artists. That's part of this creative continuum that we see around us, and it's just very special. It's actually not common for a performing arts center based at a university such as ours or on a college campus to have the kind of integrated relationships that we have the pleasure of having with the academic departments in the performing arts, music, theater, and dance. Far more often, facilities like Krannert Center are separated in their mission from the academic mission more fully. And the good news is that as Krannert Center's reputation and standing has grown over the years, more campuses are looking at the Krannert Center model as a way to more fully compound the resources, the assets, and the energies that exist scholarship-wise, research-wise, as well as performance, public performance-wise. And so having the relationships we have with the departments of theater and dance and the School of Music is very special. And one of those, one of the most beautifully emblematic illustrations of that is the quartet in residence that we support in the School of Music. As you know, the Pacifica Quartet was with us and on our campus in our community for a number of years, a good number of years, and they departed to one of our sister organizations across a border. But we are so pleased to have their successors, the Jupiter String Quartet in residence in the School of Music, and jointly being presented in performance by Krannert Center. The musicians are fantastic musicians. They are also fantastic people, and their dedication, commitment, their creative thinking, their resourcefulness is a pleasure for us to work with collaboratively. So we're hosting them for three performances this season, and maybe Tammy would like to share a little bit more about that.
Sure, the opening performance with the Jupiter String Quartet is. It also opens up our classical programming for the season. And we're very, very excited to have them in combination with the Jasper String Quartet.
Who were on your season last year? Weren't they?
This past year. Season. Yep, they were the Cleveland Quartet Award winners, an honor that the Jupiter has also had. So they were part of our Sunday Salon series last year. But there's much more that between these two quartets that goes on besides just the music making, which is kind of a very fun aspect to this performance. You may know that there are two sisters that are part of the Jupiter String Quartet. One of those sisters is married to the cellist in the Jupiter String, so it's a very familial sort of quartet. The brother of those two sisters is the first violinist of the Jasper Quartet.
Who is married to?
The cellist of that quartet. So this is going to be like a family reunion to start with, I think. And they are going to be playing the wonderful Mendelssohn Octet to kick off our classical music programming for the season. I think just a great pillar of the classical repertoire for chamber music. And Mendelssohn, such a beautiful history that he personally has, and I think it's going to be a concert not to be missed, certainly.
So that opening concert of the classical season, as it were, with the Jupiter String Quartet and the Jasper String Quartet will be on Thursday, September 12th. We happen to have the Jupiters in some music by Mendelssohn. We'll hear a bit of the finale of Mendelssohn's F minor quartet, Opus Posthumus, if you like. Number 80, if you keep track of these things, here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
That is the first part of the final movement of the F minor string quartet of Felix Mendelssohn, played by the Jupiter String Quartet, who are the quartet in residence at the University of Illinois School of Music here in Urbana-Champaign. I say here because that's where WYLL Radio is located, and that's where we're broadcasting from. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we are covering some of the performances that have been announced as part of the coming concert, well, the presentation season. You can't just say concert season at the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts. And the Jupiters will be joined by the Jasper String Quartet to open the classical season on September 12th. They will be back twice more.
In January, January 30th, with Schubert's Death and the Maiden Quartet. And then in March, we will welcome them with Beethoven's Opus 127. And that will be a wonderful morning concert, a 10 a.m. morning concert. Something that we'd done in the past and we're kind of bringing back. We called it Bagels and Beethoven. So you can bring your coffee into the concert hall with you as you listen to some Beethoven that morning with the Jupiter.
Let me run down the rest of the visiting classical groups and let me know if I miss any when we're done. I highlighted them here, and there's a few people I'm not sure quite who they are. But after that, and these are the visiting ones, not just the ones who are going to be here from the university itself, Chicago Symphony, we mentioned, that'll be on Saturday, October the 12th. Apollo's Fire Baroque Orchestra will be, that's a wonderful group. They'll be there on October the 30th. That's a Wednesday night. One of the prize winners that Kranitz Center is plugged into regularly is the Concert Artists Guild first prize winner. He's a cellist named Jay Campbell. That'll be on Sunday afternoon, November the 3rd. We mentioned James Galway, Jeannie Galway, some classical, some less so, on November the 7th. The San Francisco Symphony is coming back after a while away. Might have not be that long away.
Just a few years.
On Friday, November the 15th.
With Michael Tilson Thomas.
Conducting. That'll be interesting. I'm sure whatever the program is will be an interesting one. The Takacs Quartet, one of the great string quartets of our time, will be there on Thursday, December the 5th. And let's see, another of the young winners, award winners, is the Young Concert Artists winner, soprano Julia Bullock, will be on Sunday, February the 9th. That, of course, is in 2014. The Haifa Symphony Orchestra of Israel. Former tuba player roommate of mine played with them for a while. February the 22nd, that's a Saturday night. The Venice Baroque Orchestra, so another great Baroque orchestra, will be there on Saturday, March the 1st. The Kronos Quartet, another of the great great string quartets that specialize in contemporary music, will be on Wednesday, March the 17th. Violinist and violist Pinka Zuckerman in recital with pianist Yefim Bronfman on Thursday, April the 3rd. The Van Cliburn competition winner, not yet named, will be coming on April the 6th. Is that a first? Have you had a Cliburn winner before?
Yes, we have a long history with the
Van Cliburn. Okay.
Yes.
I just had forgotten. And that's what I've got.
Nathan.
Who did I miss?
Nathan
and
Julie Gunn.
Along with soprano.
Well, it's the friends part that made me think, will that be classical? Will that not be classical?
Classical.
I suppose you never know.
There'll be classical and American Songbook.
On May the 1st.
Right.
Indeed.
Did I miss anybody else?
I think you got it.
I think we got it.
Okay. Now, how about some of these folks that I don't know about? I've heard of the Buena Vista Social Club, for example, but what is the orchestra of the Buena Vista Social Club who are going to be there on September 28th?
That is the sound that you are familiar with.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, which should be exciting.
It'll be fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
And also, I think another wonderful aspect of that is they are bringing a young pianist, a Cuban pianist, Roberto Fonseca, with them. Roberto has actually toured with the group as pianist with the group. He's done a lot of work with is it Michael Ferrier, I think, who's one of the singers with the group. He's kind of served as a music director in some ways to him. And very, very exciting young pianist to open for them.
That should be a
wonderful
concert.
In his own solo set.
I'm sure going to try to get there for that one as well as many others as I can. How about the Hungarian State Folk Ensemble? Is that a music group, a dance group, or both?
This is one of the big folkloric dance companies in Europe. It's one of the most storied of those institutions, and it is fantastically exciting stuff. You know, the folk dance traditions of Eastern Europe they're so physical. They're also so beautiful. The costuming is unbelievable, and it will be with live musicians as well. It's a joyous kind of experience, but it's also a very informative experience for folks who may not have had the pleasure of this sort of encounter before.
That'll be on Wednesday, October the 23rd. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to, I guess this isn't really skipping ahead because I've skipped all the other classical things I mentioned, or some of them, to the end of November. This is a return appearance by the wonderful jazz saxophonist, tenor saxophonist Joshua Redman, who I had the privilege of chatting with on the phone whenever he was here last in an interview. And he seemed absolutely delightful. I wasn't able to get to the concert. I imagine it was smashing.
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Was it that long ago?
3 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Really?
And it was smashing. Our history with Joshua goes back to the night after the events of 9/11. And the conversations we were having with Joshua on that day, September 12th of 2001, were some of the most memorable conversations I've had in my career. And you know, we respect the choices of musicians who are experiencing difficult times. This is a circumstance where everybody in our country was experiencing difficulty, and I cannot thank Joshua enough for wanting to perform that evening. It was a galvanizing experience, very deeply moving experience for our audience and for the musicians themselves.
Here he is in his from his CD called Passage of Time, in a tune of his own composition. It's called Our Minuet, and he's joined by pianist Aaron Goldberg, bassist Reuben Rogers, and drummer Gregory Hutchins. And any idea if those are the folks coming with, or may
not
be?
At least two of those people will be with him.
Great. Joshua Redman, tenor sax player, here on Live and Local. And you are hearing pianist Aaron Goldberg, who is part of the quartet that includes saxophonist, tenor saxophonist Joshua Redman, who will be coming to, in fact, Aaron Goldberg will be among the people he's coming with to the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in their coming performance season on Thursday, November the 21st. You'll also hear Reuben Rogers, who's the bassist in that recording. Oh, for that matter, it's the same trio. It's the same quartet.
Trio.
Yeah, all coming. That's fantastic. So you heard a sample of what they will be like. And I noticed on the list, let me back up and say, my guests here on Live and Local today are Mike Ross and Tammy Kikta, both in charge of programming at the Krannert Center. A fellow who I had to look up. There's a number of people I had to look up on here. Vijay Iyer. Turns out, I see, he's a jazz pianist himself. Who is this guy?
He is indeed. Vijay brings an incredible intellect to the work that he does, but a great moving spirit, a great freedom of expression, I think, with his artistry, and we'll have a chance to hear him in the club-style setting of the Studio Theater, which always gives you a wonderful up-close and personal feeling of being right there with the artist.
And he's giving three performances, so he's in residence, I imagine, probably doing a bunch of other things, educational activities?
Primarily performing, but
really?
We'll definitely twist his arm a little bit for some other things.
Well, usually when somebody sticks around that long, because I know you, when you can, you have this happen that does tend to happen.
Yes, we're still in negotiations on that aspect of the time that he'll be here, but he is he's devoted to that work as well as to the performance side of things. So I'm sure that there will be students and others who are going to have a very, very, very big pleasant surprise ahead when they come into contact with him. As Tammy said, he is a real intellect. He's a polymath. His training and knowledge base goes far beyond that of music and the arts. He's one of those extraordinary kind of, he's a young Renaissance man.
And here he is, pianist Vijay Iyer, with alto saxophonist, I'll probably mess this name up, Rudresh Mahanthapa, or something like that. Bassist.
Yeah, Rudresh is an amazing musician
as
well.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazing.
Probably jazz musicians will know some of these names that I don't. Bassist Stephen Crump, or maybe Stephen Crump, and drummer Marcus Gilmore. The tune is called Imagine, from his CD called Reimagining. Vijay Iyer here on Live and Local. Pianist Vijay Iyer with saxophonist Rudresh Mahanthapa, bassist Stephen Crum, and drummer Marcus Gilmore in a tune called Imagine from a CD called Reimagining, and I guess that's a reimagining of a Beatles tune.
Yeah, John Lennon.
Yeah.
John Lennon.
Here on Live and Local. Vijay Iyer will be with his trio at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts for three performances next February, the 20th through the 22nd, and on Live and Local today. We are covering some of the events that will be happening in the coming season of the Krannert Center, which has very recently been announced, I think just within the last 2 weeks or so. And
Kevin, wonderful pianist coming in a little later in April of 2014 is Peter Nero, somebody who I listened to quite frequently as I was growing up. So
I remember seeing him in concert in one of the community concert programs with my parents.
Exactly. Wonderful person doing a tribute to an artist who has been a great friend of Krannert Center over the years, Marvin Hamlisch, who, of course, passed away this past year. And we had hoped to bring him here to Champaign-Urbana one more time. And
not going to happen.
We're very grateful to Peter Nero for remembering his good friend and our good friend.
Peter, one of the great crossover artists, as you mentioned earlier about another artist, Kevin. Just a great jazz pianist, great composer for film. I do think this is going to be a touching evening, and it'll be a joyously so. Touching.
Does he play solo? Does he bring people with him?
He'll have a bass player with him.
Oh, that should be wonderful. Just piano and bass.
Very nice.
It's one of my favorite combinations of instruments. Simple,
clean. You don't hear that combination enough anymore. It used to be very popular, and it's so great to hear you say that, because I do think that there's this, it's so essential. It's right down to the essence of...
Well, not to say anything against drummers. I mean, usually you'll have jazz trio and it'll have a drummer, but I love it when a percussive instrument like the piano and a semi-percussive instrument like the bass, because it's usually plucked in jazz, not always, create their own percussive sounds in addition to the harmony and so on. But that we could go on about that for a long time. I'm curious about, just really quickly, a couple of other things that I see listed on here, something called The Demo. End of February.
Yeah, The Demo is it's a fantastic project that is inspired, that was inspired by an important demonstration that was given in the San Francisco, in the Bay Area in 1968, which introduced the concept of the mouse, the personal computer. It's one of the great moments in the history of computer science and engineering. But the The original footage of that demo was the inspiration for this piece, which will be performed and composed and created in part by Michael Rouse, who we've had with us a number of times in the past. Fascinating project. If you're into the experimental theater performance scene, this is one that you'll want to catch, or if you're just interested in the history of the computer.
Sure, February 28th of next year. And then towards the, the very last day of April, who or what is or are Diavolo? Did I say it right?
Diavolo, correct.
Tammy?
Correct. They are a fabulous movement-based company, and they come out of the L.A. area, and they work with large structures on stage, at very athletic type of performance, and in this particular case, we'll be welcoming them for a piece that we are co-commissioner on, music by Philip Glass, and they've done lots of different kinds of collaborations, like with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, which this particular piece is. They work with architects for the big structures that appear on stage. Just a very, very exciting, high-energy type of event.
Yeah, very physical. This is gymnastics, acrobatics, dance, the whole, that kind of a
combined
blending. Yeah.
So we haven't, I mean, we have run out of time and can't really run down the complete list of other sort of theatrical type performance events that are going on, but there are always those happening.
Well, I say keep your eyes peeled. We will have season brochures getting mailed in mid-June, and one can always visit the Cranery Center website to get on our event mail list and our mailing list so that you're sure to get the communications from us.
And you can see the schedule there, if not all the details of who's doing what and so on, but you can see who's coming when.
That's right. And then tickets go on sale on the 10th of August, and that will be in every form that we typically take ticket sales. You can come in and visit us at Cranery Center on Goodwin Street. You can go on our website and order your tickets through the website. You can call us. You can do it by mail. Whatever suits you.
And if you want to call, the number is 217-333-6280.
It's funny when you hesitate with your own phone number. I do the same thing. And, of course, CranertCenter.com is the website.
Correct.
Best way to go, just to see the whole thing and get excited about it.
That's right.
If we haven't helped with that right here, we certainly hope we have.
And we have lots of good stuff for the families, you know, families who want to bring their kids. The Diavolo event being one of those, the TPO performance, this fabulous theater company from Italy with just uses projections and sound in such a beautiful way. The return of the ballet. There's a lot there. So please, if you want to dig in, just look at that website, CranertCenter.com, or give us a call.
Mike Ross is the director of the Cranert Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Tammy Kikta is assistant director for artistic services. And it's been my pleasure to have you guys both on Live and Local today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kevin.
On tomorrow's show, we will bring back a couple of the songwriters we had on, I think it was Friday's show, or maybe it was Thursday's, as well as a bunch of others who are paying tribute to Bob Dylan on the occasion of his 72nd birthday at a concert in Champaign later this week. That is going to happen on tomorrow's show, and we'll be having them perform live for us. That should be a lot of fun. And you're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we're always grateful to those listeners who help to support us with your financial contributions. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Be back again tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for All Things Considered. And here's a bit more from the lady we opened with, Audra McDonald. She'll be at the Cranert Center early in the season, and this is a Neil Young song called My Heart.
Down in the valley, the shepherd sees his flock is close at hand, and in the night sky, a star is falling down from someone's hand.